Mark Mobley, on tenor sax, leads the band, including Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on double bass, and Art Blakey on drums, with Soul Station. This was the title track of Mobley's 1960 album of the same name. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and it has begun. We had twin bombings today in Afghanistan, just to get everybody's attention as the evacuation continues, and there are only 5 days left to go to bring that to an end. But predictably, we see the conduct of the religious zealots saying, we're going to give you something to think about before you go. And so we had the bombings. Nothing unexpected from what all reports seem to indicate. It was kind of expected that they would do something dramatic, and that what it seems the intention was is to provoke a response that in turn will provoke the accusation that the United States was the provocateur here. But I think people are seeing through these things now, and they have a good idea of why these things are happening. Well, we're going to be continuing our discussions because we will expect, in fact, that was, believe it or not, I put these questions together in my head last night, and I guess it was a prescient. I saw something coming up that we needed to question, and indeed it has. So we'll talk about it and not get overly perturbed. This was predicted. This is predictable behavior. And every effort appears to be made to provoke something before the deadline is up to evacuate Afghanistan. But, you know, it was coming. People saw that coming. The good thing is we didn't hear of any reports of fatalities or anything like that, just the bombings. And the idea was to get attention and to try to create a scenario where there would be a response, which in turn will give a plausibility to the idea that they're defending themselves against the United States, not that they were attacking and the United States was defending itself and its citizens. So I want to ask a philosophical question today as we begin. Or maybe I should just tack on the second part of this question and deal with that first. As I said, in just 6 days, President Joe Biden is expected to bring to an end the U.S. military presence and rescue mission in Afghanistan. What else? This was the question I wrote last night. What else do you think or expect to happen before the timetable is up? What else do you think is going to happen and why? 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and we get our phone calls started as quickly as we can. 888-874-4888. So it was predicted there would be some kind of drama as the deadline closes in. And that happened yesterday. Now, what else do you expect to happen, if anything? 888-874-4888. You know, this is a point about terrorism. The idea is to incite fear and to get people so obsessed with the idea of their mortality that they will be paralyzed and, in fact, invite further attack. But it is, when you look at it, it is quite, how should I say, it is quite predictable, this behavior. But it's not only on their part, it is also predictable on the U.S.'s part. And to that degree, I am watching very closely the behavior and the response of the president. I don't know what is going on in his head, and it would be good to know what he's thinking at the moment. Gino from the Bronx, you get us started today.
Good day, Eutrice. It's been a few
Hello.
Months. Hi, you're sounding good today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I also want to endorse that questioning you gave, really getting people to think about critically, and when you present the case, really back it up with a lot of statistics or facts and do some extra homework. That was a very good on-your-toes speech you gave. Very well said. Very well done. Very well elucidated. There's a big word for you for what you did. I just want to say to begin with.
Look it up.
Well, I just gave three dictionaries away to the youngsters around here, so I think I have one more left, but you got one, I know. Listen, excuse me?
I said I do, I know.
Oh, yeah, I know you do, I know you. Your dad and mom, I didn't forget your upbringing. You know, you're standing up there till 1 o'clock in the morning with answering questions. Oh, yeah, that training, I know. It didn't plant you in front of a TV. So, first of all, I want to say... yesterday's rally, which I'm a little disappointed I didn't hear about on the show before yours, it was a very well-attended rally down at City Hall. We had everybody, color, religious, political, from conservatives to socialists to the Democrats, liberals, progressives. It was full. The whole block was full. And about nine times they had to announce, please get out of the street. They're blocking traffic. And the cops were cooperative. Even the cops were for freedom of speech that I talked to, a freedom of choice in the vaccine issue. And it was really well attended. Mary was there from the Children's Defense Fund, Robert Kennedy's group, a bunch of people, a singer, an opera singer, a rockette. I mean, it was very good. The kids that were around me with the mothers with their babies. And somebody didn't show up with the videos promised for 500 videos on vaccines from the office. But basically, I wanted to just say thank you for everybody that I know. I've talked to a bunch of people, turned them onto the station, and I had a sign promoting it. Thank you for showing up, and thank you, and keep spreading the word about this station. If you reach five people a day, that adds up at the end of the day, everybody listening. We have to do it verbally, not just rely upon wishful thinking. So that's one thing. The other thing is, what's going on with Biden? Well, they're leaving there for now. I think the main thing to be on the lookout for, well, you said something the other day about he gave the, that nobody caught on to was, I didn't have a speech, so I couldn't comment, that when he said basically it's not about health or safety, it's for the economy. And I don't see a distinction between get a shot for the economy of the vaccine makers and corporations getting a socialized, medical money going to them. I don't see a difference between that when Trump said, if we don't sell arms to the worst country out there, Saudi Arabia, the tyrants that they are bombing the poorest people in the Middle East, somebody else will do it. Well, just replace that with Hitler. If we didn't sell arms to Hitler, somebody else. No ethics, no morality. And so there's no distinction between me or what Biden said or what this vaccine represents and what Trump said. One puts a little small smile. He don't make comments, about people's features or shapes or whatever. And he don't just come out with his honesty in a dishonesty in an honest way, whereas the other one's got the dishonesty under the seemingly honesty. with a smile. So for me, I don't distinguish. Hannibal Lecter, to me, is worse than, than anybody looks around like they're grotesque and walking around, with, you know, like they're just coming out with their fangs hanging out, looking to suck your blood. So I don't, but the main thing with that is I think Iran is a thing we have to watch out for, ancient Persia. They're not going after anybody despite the propaganda for 240 years. We took away the democratically elected leader in the 50s. They put a dictator in. The Ayatollah and the religious movement took care of him. And so I don't believe in that idea about bringing democracy when you take it away. And so that's the thing, because they're a very sophisticated country, the ancient Persia. And they don't bother anybody, even though people killed their generals, killed their nuclear physicists, tried to take out their electrical system. They ain't bothering nobody. They killed their religious figure in Saudi Arabia. They're very patient people. They're very learned. They're not stupid. And I think they should leave them alone, because they got a coastline that could easily torpedo those oil ships. And Russia and China are behind them. And you can see civilization, which are 100 years like the British, is practically up. You can see things turn on a dime. And there's no way that they're going to they're scared of Korea sending a missile, let alone China or Russia. So a war with China is birth control for them. So these people better wisen up and learn how to be cooperative and learn. And ideally, my hope is that somebody like a Roosevelt comes along with some kind of, and has a wife like Eleanor, to part his conscience, to do things for their people, not the few, select few, but the people that are down here suffering and dying left and right. I told you, I live in a place where there's
all
a
right.
lot of suffering.
You started us off well today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gino,
for your call and your input today. 888-874-4888. I'm asking the question we have seen the revelation that we'd been talking about has occurred, and there have been two bombings near the airport in Afghanistan. So that is the kicker. What else do you expect to happen? 888-874-4888. And why do you expect it to happen? What is our position to be as the so-called public, United States public? What are we supposed to be getting ready for or girding ourselves for in this time? What are the possibilities? What are you prepared for psychologically? Are you expecting things to rev up radically between now and the 31st of August? Are you expecting that there would be a peaceful withdrawal and attention would turn to diplomatic initiatives, if it's at all possible? Or will it escalate into even more violence and we'll be back where it all started? What are you thinking about the conduct of the United States? And by that I mean the President of the United States, Joe Biden. What signals is he sending? Is he amenable? Is he being logical? Or has he begun to revert to his stubborn self, where he's not listening to anybody and thinks that he knows best? I don't know how this is going to work out, but we are all stuck in time. We have to pay attention, as we hope and pray. But this is typical. When you look at it historically, you see the steps repeating themselves, and you wonder why don't they get the message by now? Why haven't they gotten it? Rose from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Yatrice. I think Biden doesn't want him out. I think he wants them all killed by the Taliban or by some terrorist group. He's telling people who have papers. First of all, where are your papers? He doesn't tell anyone at the border, where are your papers? And if Trump said it, Trump has called every name in the book. He's he enforced policies, statement policies instituted by Trump, making it very arbitrary, cumbersome policies to get all their papers in order, and he's enforcing it, knowing very well that the Taliban might retaliate and chop their heads off and their families, or be a victim of bombs by other terrorist groups, and he's perfectly with that. This is not any mistake on his part. He's an anti-Semite against Semitic Islam. That's the most virulent kind of the 21st century.
Hold on. You're throwing around a lot of indictments as if they were true, and you have reason and facts to back it up. You can't just tell he's an anti-Semite. Where did you get that?
Because he's telling people, where are your papers? These are people. These are people.
Why don't you understand that as logical? Why is that so bizarre to you and anti-Semitic?
Because we use the phrase "never again" about the Holocaust. Beautiful, and Biden is a big promoter. My agenda is human rights, never again, and everything. He's doing the opposite when it comes to, lo and behold, another Semitic group, Islam, adherents of Islam, a Semitic religion. So that's why I'm using that phrase, because he's showing contempt for these people by enforcing cumbersome immigration policies that he doesn't have to enforce. Stroke of a pen, he could do what he did with the Dreamers or the people escaping Venezuela or Cuba or Central America because they're in a bad marriage or they live in a bad neighborhood. Every single one of them has to come in on humanitarian grounds. You don't hear the word humanitarian. The only reason he's taking them out at all is because the vets pulled the rug out from under him. The vets, he did not expect the U.S. vets to have bonded with their Afghan brothers in arms. He never expected that in a million years. And the only that there is now an airlift of the magnitude that is taking place is because the vets...
But you are talking, Rose, as if you are inside of his head. And you know what he's thinking and why he's doing what he's doing.
I'm going back.
You're talking as if you know more facts than he does about what he is doing. How did you get to be so authoritative about what he's doing and what he's thinking?
They're being told, people at the airport, you have a choice. You have your paper, beautiful. You got all your papers in order. Very nice, Mr. Whatever. But now you have a choice. You come, but you can't take your family with you. That's a Sophie's choice right there. You come, but you can't bring your family with you. Does he say that to people at the border? That is my proof. He doesn't want these people to live. He's surprised. The only reason that he was surprised at the vets. He thought because you have green and blue, attacks. Yeah, there were some that are terrorists and they pretend they're on your side and they're not. Because there were some like that, just like there were some Mexican murderers and some Mexican traffickers, doesn't mean they all are. And I'm surprised that they were. They gave him hell for 4 years. But he thought that because there were some bad Afghans there, that therefore the vets hated them all, because that's the contempt he shows for them.
I think you're projecting into his head what is actually in yours. I don't think you're making a very good case at all, because you're talking as if you're absolutely certain this is how it's going down, what he's thinking, and why he's doing the things he's doing. That's not fair. That is not a good way to approach analysis. And you're all one-sided about it. And what we're looking for is analysis. I'm not looking for pointing the finger of blame, and then you cherry-pick what you think would be part of the composite argument that you're making. I don't think you're right on it today at all. Gwen, you're on the air. Gwen from New York.
Therese, how are you?
Okay, so how are you?
Nice and hot here, nice and hot, okay? Feels very Florida up here. I'm really, I want to say about the Afghanistan thing. I'm really surprised when I listen to people talk, because especially the people on the left that for years, and I'm one of them, have been saying that we should not be entering into other countries and telling them how to run their country or attacking them. And we certainly should not be in 20-year-long wars. So, you know, I don't know what fairy tale people live in. Did you honestly think this was going to go down nice and smooth and no one was going to get hurt? You have to live in some kind of non-reality to think that wasn't going to happen. There is going to be, I hate to say it, collateral damage when something like this goes on. We saw it in Vietnam, but we also saw that Vietnam was able to get it together. They have a pretty good economy now, and they're a functioning country. And so although it's very sad to see people get killed, it's very sad to see what's happening now, I think it is inevitable. And I think that people that are, you know, yelling about Joe Biden not getting emotional enough, not doing more. Well, I mean, the only other way to go is to say, OK, we made a mistake. Let's put some troops back in. Let's continue on this route and let's just do it indefinitely. And so I just feel that, you know, that is I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that we could manage, and I don't think we could manage other people's countries for this many years. And also, you know, if you said to people like, when we were in Germany, we went over to Germany to rescue people from Hitler and the death forces, but I don't think that we were going to stay there for 20 years. We never thought of staying there for 20 years because, frankly, I don't think that they could get away with that at the time. I don't think the military-industrial complex could get away with that with a war-weary America at that point in time. But I think that we were very deceived, but we allowed the deception to happen under Bush, who went ahead and put us in all these places. And then the money just never stopped since then. And I got to tell you something, the money's still going on today. Interestingly enough, people, when they come from Afghanistan to the United States, are now lining up with Airbnb. We're going to put them in Airbnb. They're not going to stay in the barracks like we had them before. We're going to flip the bill for more of these gigantic big corporations. And Airbnb is a big corporation. And it all kind of lines up with the rest of the things going on in the United States. So I just want to go back to I was listening to one of the women, the founders of Code Pink the other day. And, you know, these are women that have showed up for 20 years. They've been there. They've gone to every congressional hearing. They get thrown out all the time. They've been to all the protests. And, you know, she said this very wisely the other day. She said almost the same thing that I'm saying, is that as much as they hate to see people get hurt and killed on the way out, that you have to expect some of that to have happened. But at the end, when the dust settles, probably this is a better thing for their country. Now, it's inevitable also that they're going to have power struggles, and they're having them right now. They say, I heard this morning that ISIS and the Taliban are going to go at it with each other, and there's going to be some kind of showdown, but ISIS is not as well equipped with people and that will fight for them as the Taliban is. But we can expect this to happen. But I just got to tell you, I take issue listening to people thinking how hypocritical you are when you didn't show up to the anti-war protest, or maybe you did for one or two, but you didn't get involved in this issue until you saw it right now. So the last 20 years, you got on your high horse and you spoke very nicely, saying you were against the war, you were always against the war. But, you know, what did you really do? So now you want to get up there and talk about how evil the president is for doing something that we've been asking for, by the way. The left has been asking for us to remove forces from there since the war started. And now you don't like how it's being done. Well, guess what? It's like the sausage factory. It's not pretty. It's how they make sausage, and it's not pretty, and it's not nice. But maybe if we never bought into this, maybe if the lazy people of the United States have gotten off their ass when George Bush was out there touting this fake war and said, no, we will not do it. No, we won't keep giving money to these warmongers. Then maybe none of this would have happened to start with. So to me, I don't want to hear your cries at the end of the day. You know, you have no seat at the table if you were not the people from Code Pink, if you were not the anti-war people that were out there the entire time, from the beginning to the end, putting blood, sweat, and tears into the effort to stop this from moving forward. So I'm sorry that you know, people are upset about it. It's upsetting. But you know what? It's going to happen. This is like tearing the bandage off the wound and the scab is coming with it. It's not pretty. It's not nice. But I got to tell you something. I also think that Americans are being manipulated because I believe there is a big portion of the military industrial complex that wants to stay there. They want to stay there because the cash cow just keeps on coming in. She just keeps on bearing milk. And if we get on and do what we do again, what we always do, just listen to those chowderheads on TV, right? Here's what they show you. Here's what's happening. And so you get on there and you start, you know, screaming, yelling saying you hate the president. I mean, look, if you're going to hate the president, why don't you hate him for something that's real? OK, but to me, no matter who pulled us out, whether it was going to be Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anybody else, no matter who pulled us out, it was not going to go down smoothly. It just isn't. I just don't understand why people thought that it was going to be a beautiful succession of people that neatly lined up, got into airplanes and got away to the United States. Watch who starts making money now. Perhaps even the two factions, the two fat cats at the top, the two pigs at the trough that take all of our money and use it for what they want. They're all making money again now. It's just that they're fighting about who's going to make the money. So they want me, Joe, civilian, to go out and say, listen, you know, I'm going to fight for the military industrial complex side. So I'm going to start talking about how awful this is. And then they're going to go back in and they're going to keep throwing money out, throwing it down the toilet, stealing from us. Or if you bring them in, you're fighting on the other side so that the corporations at home make sure they get a cut of the deal. So good old Airbnb is coming in and they're getting a nice chunk of the deal. I mean, I really think people have to look at this. Look at it. If you don't look at it in any other way, then look at how they have told you about this so-called vaccine and how you have to take it. It's propaganda 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're not fighting the left or the right on this one. We're fighting both, okay? We're fighting a worldwide decision that has been made that everyone in the world has to get this vaccine. And it's a big fight. I will also say that yesterday, I think the gentleman that opened the show said he was at the protest yesterday. I also was there, and it was in New York City, and it was headed up by the teachers union. But what I noticed, what I was looking carefully at the whole group was, it was a good cross-section of people, and it was a strange cross-section of people because people that were there were people that would never stand together and any other time that I've known. So it was white people, it was black people, it was union people, it was non-union people, it was young kids, and it was old people, too. I saw some seniors there, too. And so I think when the powers that be look at a picture like this, this might make them nervous just because this might be the launching point for a whole new organization or group of people to finally get together and say we're not going to take this. So that was that was a good thing that happened yesterday, in my opinion, and I was happy to be there. I was, you know, I had to endure some rhetoric from some people that I didn't agree with, but you know what, the name of the game for me is that I would like to have a choice about whether or not I get stuck with that thing or not. You know, I don't care. Everybody can make their decision. I really am fine with anyone makes a decision to take it. Just please don't make me take something that I feel so reluctant to take.
Thank you. Thanks for your opinion.
Thanks, Etrice. Thank you.
You know what? It is always so difficult to know what you're thinking.
Me, Gwen?
It's so hard to tell what you're saying.
I know, because I'm so shy. I need to get over this shyness.
Shyness?
You
have never been shy a day in your life.
Not one.
For your call
Not
today.
One.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Idris. Bye-bye.
All right. At this point, we'll take a break and come back to the question at hand is, what else are you expecting to happen by the time the deadline is up for the removal or evacuation of Americans under Biden's care out of Afghanistan? Right after this, I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the fact that we've gotten definitive messaging today. Well, actually yesterday in Afghanistan, of two explosions that have occurred and have been attributed to the Taliban and perhaps others. We don't know. but it is a kind of a message that the exit will not be uneventful. So what do you expect? What other things do you expect to happen by the time the deadline is up and Biden, President Biden, evacuates Americans and extended families out of Afghanistan? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you're thinking. This is not a prediction of what will happen, but I want to know what you're thinking and why you're thinking it. 888-874-4888. You should have that number pasted on your forehead by now. You should know that number by heart. Donald from Georgia, you're on the air.
Hotep to Chief.
Thank you. Hotep to you.
I was thinking one way, but then I received an alert from, I think, CNN that the blast killed some Americans, including Marines. And that sent my thinking kind of upside down. If the report is true, Biden's back is going to be pressed against the wall. He's going to have to, I think he's going to have some kind of reaction. Now, they said the group that did the bombing wasn't the Taliban, but it was called ISIS-K. And
yes.
they are accusing the Taliban of selling out. And like I said, I had one response already in mind, but this new information here, it kind of places U.S. prestige up against the wall. It's like when you're leaving and everybody sees you leaving, like the group that the countries you're leaving for just comes up and kick you all of a sudden, you know, humiliation. And it kind of puts United States prestige in which it cannot stand to be insulted up against the wall, and you might see a harsh reaction.
Is this an act of provocation? I'm sorry that people died, but looking at it from an analytical point of view, was this done deliberately in order to provoke the kind of reaction that you're talking about?
I think it was. I think it was to provoke two things. As I said before, it was very angry at the Taliban for what it calls betraying Afghanistan. It saw the Taliban get too close America, and the group wanted to continue the struggle or what they see as a revolution, and at the same time it was provoking to the United States because it killed American soldiers.
But they're also having an internecine warfare of their own. They're fighting each other,
right?
And
yeah,
they want to be the group, the dominant group that is taking a position against the United States. So they're trying to communicate to all of Afghanistan, we are the true ones. We are the true leaders. We are not scared. We are going to go up against the United States, even if we all lose our lives.
Right, but I'm looking at something kind of different. I'm looking
okay.
at something kind of different, a different thinking on the part of the Taliban. They want to be more than a ragtag country. And they were seen as kind of cooperating with the United States. And next thing you know, they would be seen as going back on some of the things, like they might let women have a bigger participation in the country, so forth, so on. And this was threatening to ISIS-K. That's what I'm looking at. They don't want any changes. They want strict Sharia law or whatever they had. They don't want no changes. And the Taliban was saying, hey, we can't live this way, some of the Taliban. We can't live this way. We can't have a brain drain on our country. We can't afford that. And ISIS-K said, I don't care. Like you were saying, ISIS-K, I don't care.
Okay. You raise a very good point, and I thank you for bringing it to our attention and putting it out there. Let's see what people are thinking. Thanks so much, Donald, for your call today. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
How are you today, Eutrice?
Okay. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm still feeling strong, but I'm not in a great situation because I've basically been fired for refusing to take experimental drugs. I've been teaching at the same location for 18 years, and I cannot return unless I agree to take this experimental fast-tracked vaccine and also waive my rights in doing so. So, you know, I'm just really beside myself right now on so many levels. I mean, first of all, I have two young children to support, but I just can't believe that people are going along with this. I can't believe that we have become such sheep. And even if you believe that this is a good medical procedure that's being done and you think this is a good medical formula that they whipped up, don't you understand that this is a very bad precedent when the government can just declare emergency whenever they want and tell you, here, you have to take this injection? This is such a bad precedent. And I have people saying, I think you're getting a little obsessed about this. Yeah, I'm getting a little obsessed about World War III. I'm getting a little obsessed about being shoved onto a slave ship. I'm getting a little obsessed about being given smallpox blankets and sent on my journey. You know, I think there's a real unintelligence that's going on right now. And, you know, intelligence comes in all different types of forms. I don't think anyone can simply define intelligence. There's emotional intelligence, there's technical intelligence. But right now, I see a pattern of unintelligence. And specifically, that unintelligence is people underreacting to alarming things. Like zombies, like people who have been desensitized, were being hit with one alarming bit after another. And we keep saying, okay. So first of all, you have to take an experimental injection. Second of all, it's temporary immunity. This isn't a shot. This is an ongoing medical program that you've been enlisted in. You must take booster shots twice a year. I don't have it within my American rights, quote unquote, my constitutional rights to opt out of that. I must be forced into a rushed together medical program where you can't even sit there with your doctor and discuss this. Like, they're giving people these shots at these Walgreens locations and right outside of the Grand Central's, you know, train station or whatever. They're just setting up these makeshift vaccine places. Are they questioning you about your medical history? Have they looked at a blood test as they inject you with this? My aunt actually had a friend who took the shot, a man in his 40s, not in the best of health, took the shot, flew right into anaphylaxis, would have died if he had taken it at one of these local drugstore locations. Would have literally needed to literally needed to be resuscitated, basically. He needed to have his life saved in the hospital, would have been dead if he received the shot elsewhere. So, you know, my question that I want to put out there, and I've asked certain people about this, and I've never particularly gotten an answer, is even if you're all on board with this vaccine thing and you think it's what we need to do and it's a great medication and so on and so forth, I humbly ask you, is it possible that we've gotten a little too far ahead of ourselves, that we're kind of like a pumped up football team at this point? And if something goes wrong, we won't recognize it because we're so pumped up about ourselves and we've just decided, pardon the expression, that we piss excellence. So that's what my fear, along with many other fears.
Just last night, as a matter of fact, it made the argument that individuals have no right, no constitutional right to refuse to take the vaccine. These are lawyers making the case that individuals have no constitutional right to resist in order to take the vaccine because the state ultimately has the greater power, because the state would be acting in the interest of all the people and in extraordinary circumstances. So the state has, according to the argument, the legal argument is, the state has greater power to decide who must take this vaccine and why. Individuals have no constitutional rights. The state has constitutional rights because it is acting in the interest of all the people.
Yeah, you know, that's what I call a highfalutin argument, you know, and I started here, like the argument that I've heard, which is, I mean, what you just said to me is terrifying. And if that's the truth, then I think we just go ahead, take the Constitution, rip it up, put it in the garbage can, put some gasoline in the garbage can, and toss a match in there. Because if that's what your Constitution is all about, then give me a break with the Constitution. You know, and that's what's going on with a lot of this stuff, is there, it's a lot of double speak and a lot of stuff that it just doesn't make sense. Like to say, okay, it's FDA approved now, and I've heard some things about that. Oh, it's actually not really FDA approved. I don't know. I need to look into these claims. However, we know that this was originally EUA, emergency use authorized. At that point, let's be real. FDA approval means nothing. It's a charade. It's a facade. It's superficial because you've already approved it in effect by injecting it into tens of millions of people and allowing private businesses to exclude people who haven't taken this experimental use or emergency use authorization shot. So, I mean, were you really going to go around and not authorize it after injecting people with it by the tens of millions? I mean, a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. And I draw everyone's attention to Israel. There's an article that came out just yesterday in the Daily Beast, and it's basically saying, when are we going to start owning up to what's turning out to be a vaccine debacle in Israel? The hospitals are overflowing, they've said. They don't have enough beds, as they keep claiming, which is just farcical, because you have enough money for all this other expensive technological protocol and exporting vaccines, but you don't have beds? So what kind of stuff is that for the masses? We don't have enough beds, but I want to see those doctors in Israel protest like the ones in Florida. The hospitals are overrun with the vaccinated, not the unvaccinated, because everyone's vaccinated. So, okay, walk out of the hospital now. Now it's overrun with vaccinated people. And what we're witnessing, everybody, is called, from what I've researched recently, a leaky vaccine. A vaccine that doesn't stop the pathogen in its tracks is not a very helpful vaccine. You have vaccinated people carrying and spreading, and I would say, in my total layman's opinion, mutating this virus. So it's like it's a catastrophe, and we keep getting the real deal facts 6 months to a year after they were originally mentioned. It's like this domino effect of the statement is made and then it's verified a year later. And I'm just really horrified as to what is unfolding here. I'm concerned, and I will hold out as long as I possibly can. Do not take this injection, because I'm very concerned specifically, and hopefully some of the audience is already been familiarized with this term, I'm concerned with antibody-dependent enhancement. And the research on these mRNA vaccines seems to be that everyone starts out well and it doesn't end well. It starts out well and it doesn't end well because we have temporary immunity, and that's the fact. They said, oh, we'll see how long it lasts. Yeah, it lasts. Your immunity is cut in half by 5 months. And when you get really vulnerable is when your immunity is waned. That's when all of a sudden the vaccinated becomes more vulnerable than even the unvaccinated and possibly becomes a sitting duck for COVID or any number of other pathogens. Now, again, I don't know that what I'm saying is exactly correct, but those are my concerns. And that's me paraphrasing.
They're very valid concerns. I agree. They're very valid concerns. And I'm seeing what you're just talking about, that the choreography And the choreography is what I just mentioned, legal experts making the case that the state has greater power than the individual in deciding whether to have the vaccine or not, which, of course, is not a vaccine. But the fact that legal minds are now at work spreading the idea that the individual has no protected constitutional rights to refuse the vaccine, that the state has infinitely greater power to tell the individual, to command the individual to take the vaccine. Individuals do not have as much power as the state in deciding what goes into their bodies. That is right. Terrifying.
And they're comparing it to, I think it's a terrible argument, and it's something that I don't think any normal person would relate to, but I started hearing preemptively, and I've heard it repeated many times since, that, this could be compared to seatbelts. It's the same as the state making you wear a seatbelt. Oh, really? Well, a seatbelt goes into my bloodstream and interacts with all of my internal organs? You know, isn't a seatbelt just for when I happen to be in a car and not something that is then attached to me every second for the rest of my life? And they'll literally,
so,
the Sarah argument
Fire,
that
let
I
me
then
ask
heard,
you something. What are you going
that,
to
ma'am?
Do now?
What
is on
do?
your agenda now?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to promote myself for 2 seconds. If you know anybody who needs a chess lesson, please go to remotelearningchess.com. I'm a chess teacher and I need more students. I have many students. I've been teaching for 20 years. If you mention your treats lead, I'll give you a discount. But I'm trying to basically develop my online business, and I'm just reaching out to a network to see anything that I could possibly do. I'm going to do a moving job tomorrow. Pretty soon it's going to be such that you can't even enter a building without your vaccine passport. So I really don't know. I need to meditate. I'm scrambling. I'm trying to take care of my kids and engage in, you know, reconfiguring my life somehow, so I can live and feel like a basically a decent human being on the planet Earth.
Repeat that address.
Website.
Again.
It's remotelearningchess.com. remotelearningchess.com. I've been a chess teacher for 20 years. I work with students of all ages, with 3-year-olds, with 83-year-olds. I incorporate analogies and chess history into my lessons, and I very much need new students. So, like I said, mention Utrice Lead. And as a matter of fact, Utrice, you can contact me through that website, and if you're interested, I'll give you a free chess lesson.
I don't want to hurt you that badly.
I don't mind being hurt.
It's a whole different language to me.
Utrice, I'll take it as a cheap lesson. If you beat me fair and square, I'll just call it a cheap lesson and shake your hand.
Well, Jeremiah, I'm very sorry about the recent turn of events in your life, but you're a man of integrity, and you will prevail.
Ultimately, I appreciate that, Utrice. I really do.
Yes, you're a man of integrity, and you will prevail. No question about it in my mind. But please do keep in touch so we can figure out how we can help you get back on your feet.
How do I contact you, Utrice?
Oh, that's a good question. Through PRN. PRN.FM.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Utrice, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. And good luck. Keep your spirits high.
I will. Thank
Jason,
you.
Jason from Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Utrice.
Hello.
How are you? Hope all is well.
Well, we're trying.
Are you increasing your health with the Gary Null regimen still? Are you following all the goodies?
I was one of the first of the crop, I got very highly individualized attention.
Awesome. That's great to hear. That's fantastic. Well, I want to bring to the table this just one notion, I guess. It just boggles the mind. Just the name of the operation when they first publicly named it Warp Speed, whatever it is. I mean, are we in the movie of Spaceballs or something? I mean, shouldn't that get people's attention that if something is called Warp Speed in a comical, like, you're an idiot type of a intention, you could feel like they're, you know, sticking your nose like you're their slave, and they're making fun of you for and using that terminology, and they expect you and me to buy this crap? That they have our best interest at heart with something called Warp Speed? I mean, people, wake up. I mean, come on. Why would you allow anything to be stuck, injected into you when you're not their cattle? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Just the name alone, right?
What do you expect? What else do you expect to happen by the 31st?
Look at Australia. Australia has been the number one example of what happens to a populace that has been disarmed completely by deception. Right, they did false flags back in the 90s, and they told everybody, "Oh, you got to give up all your protection, firearms." Well, guess what? Now we can inject you and force feed you, and arrest your kids and put them in the stadium and beat you on the street because you have no firearms to defend yourselves, and the only people that have the firearms are the bullies in the government and the military and the police or whatever, right? So that's what happens to a populace that has been completely disarmed. And guess what they're going to try to do soon here? They're going to try to do the same thing, because that's the number one thing all tyrants do, is disarm the populace first before they do everything else. So death camps are not too far away if people capitulate.
What about the idea that you're painting a very dark picture when, in fact, all the government is doing is responding to a serious situation, and they have to act quickly? They may not cross all the T's and dot all the I's, but they have to do something, even if it's very close to, you know, being questionable.
The government does not need to act in any way that is not what they were written to act for in the original Constitution, right? The whole idea of the government is to protect, right, the people, and the people are the government. Not treat people like they own their cattle on the freaking farm plantation and do with them what they want, because they know better, and they have nobody like Dr. Gary Null or any of Dr. McCullough or any of the brightest minds around the world, thousands of doctors, thousands of specialists that are debunking all their lies. The only people they use are their agenda, Hitler, whatever you want to call him, Fauci, Hail Fauci, do whatever he says, and he's on the books and in the back pocket of all the corporations. No, he's been there since the 80s. since the 80s, nobody took his, he's still the number one most paid employee in all of government, as if he's the czar of health.
We have to leave it there today, I'm sorry to say, because we're out of time. But let's continue the conversation if you have a chance to call again and just continue from where you're leaving off today. Thank you very much, Jason, for your call and your input. Thank you all for your input today. And let's talk again soon. Bye-bye.